702. Let's walk the talk.
Streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
Welcome to the weird and the wonderful, and my guest is Alma, talking to me all the way from Australia, counselor and author, and she joins me right now. Alma, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
So, the soul, a big conversation. I mean, one that has been had for millennia. People have been mesmerized and captivated by the idea of the soul. What is that? What are we talking about when we speak of the soul? We've heard about it from our religious fraternity, and it's been explained in many different ways. But if you could simplify it for us, what are we talking about when we speak of the soul?
I think it's the realization that we're part of nature, we're part of the earth, we're part of the beings, we're little creatures, we're part of, we are nature itself. And when we move away from nature and step outside of the natural law, we create dire circumstances. And things like violence, climate change, just the existence of the animals, they become extinct, and we live as if we're not connected to the earth. And as we go along, we realise what we've done to the earth and to human nature. And those who are thinkers, we start thinking about these things. And then you connect further into changing those thoughts, and you're looking for something else to connect to. And we slowly realise what we're doing is we're engaging our spirit, a connection beyond just the earth, and what is really happening around us. And what we're creating ourselves. And that is, we're engaging our souls, and it's the spirit that comes alive in us when we go a little deeper into understanding. And we then realise that we are perhaps more than our thoughts, and more than our hearts even. Our hearts start to open up to situations around us in our communities and in the world. And then we start to realise, well, maybe we're more than our bodies. And we come to a slow understanding that our souls are our consciousnesses. And we realise then that we've connected to something else. And then we say, well, our souls are eternal. And then we take the responsibility then of looking at the earth and where we live and the creatures around us and what we're creating from a more connected to the whole approach. And yeah, our souls are actually connected to the source, and we call that the divine source. And we realise then that the divine source is love. That's where we ignite our love and our care and our understanding for the earth and for the creatures of the earth and for ourselves. And that's when we realise that our souls are love, because they're connected to love. And it's given us the greatest gift of all. The divine has given us the gift of choice and how we handle our surroundings.
You have written this book, Becoming Soul, and your definition mm-hmm. of soul, the soul, is very interesting in that you speak of the soul not as something that is outside of us, but as something that we have to come to a realization that we are. So it's not something that's out there. It's something that we are, but it takes a particular understanding, a particular revelation of the fact that we are it. How do you become soul? Yes. How do you become soul? And what is the purpose of soul, given the way that you've explained it to us?
Okay. Well, the purpose, if soul is love, we're connected to the divine. Divine is love, so soul is love. Our source is love. So our purpose for our soul is to love. But we forget this. And we're looking for the big, great, wonderful things that we want to do, which are great. That's what we need to do. But in reality, our soul is the love. And our purpose is to love. And we forget that. We can say, I've a lost soul, or I've lost my soul. We haven't. It's just we have forgotten. We need to remember that we're connected to the source, which is love.
I am getting just some messages that the sound is not the best. So let's see if we can't get a better sound or better line, Alma. But indeed, a very, very interesting conversation. What is soul? What is the purpose of soul? How do we come to the realization, that full realization of what soul is? Somebody says, your soul is your conscience. It sounds to me that that is an aspect of soul. And I'm looking to find out, what is love? How does it manifest itself? How does it manifest itself in all of the contradictions of love? We've just spoken about lending and borrowing. Is there love in that conversation? So I'm really looking forward to that conversation on 011-883-0702. Give me a call. What do you understand the soul to be, and what is its purpose? How do we get to know it? Yeah? How do we get to consciously know soul, our soul? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702. When I come back, I'm hoping that the line will be a little bit better so that we can hear Alma a little more clearer.
702.
Call Aubrey on 011-883-0702.
Are we good? All right. Alma is my guest, author of the book Becoming Soul, and we are talking about what is soul? What is the soul? Yeah, that article, the, sometimes gives a little bit of distance between what the soul is. Alma seems to be suggesting that there is no space between the soul and ourselves. Alma, if you can perhaps help me understand once again, because it sounds to me like your definition of the soul is actually a realization rather than a thing. It sounds to me like you are suggesting that it's not something that we are still looking for, but rather what we are looking for is our understanding or revelation of that soul. Am I correct in understanding you to be saying that?
Yes, that's pretty much right. And I think the learning to find that depth in you, it comes with the seven steps. It comes with the sufferings, and there's silence, there's hope, and there's suffering. And we go through the seven steps throughout life, and you can either open to your soul through those steps, or you can remain in the suffering, if you like. And the next step after suffering is usually loss. And then you come to a survival stage of whether you can survive it or whether you can't survive that, whatever's happened to you through the steps. They're not one after another. They mix all together, and yes, this is the story. It happens throughout life, and it continues to happen until you actually let go and realize that you are broken, that you have been broken open, but something inside of you is igniting, and you get in touch with your deeper self. You get in touch with, can I survive this? This is horrible. How do I rise above that situation, whatever it may be? Mine was losing my daughter. And we walked together through her cancer that she had. And we chose together to rise above it. Not that we didn't suffer, not that we didn't have the grief and the loss, but we held each other tight and realized that we are more than our bodies. We are connected to a source that can carry us beyond where we think we can ever go. And that is the opening of the soul. That is how we become our soul. And I put it in the aspect of Jesus' life. He came down to show us the way. We say that he is the way. And then you look at his life and you think, gosh, if I've got to live like that, if that's the way, that's going to be hard. He didn't come down and make it easy for any of us. He said, this is the way to your soul. This is the way to open up and to connect back to the divine source. And his whole life shows us that. And this is why I wrote the story in a parable, because it shows you what each of us walk. There's not one of us that's not going to walk through somebody's death or a broken relationship or sickness or injury or whatever. We've all got to take all of that as part of our life. And our journey then is to find the inner depth that that we have got, which is connected to the divine source. And after being a counsellor for many years, I realised that they were all coming in, my clients were coming to me with issues, and they're all different issues. But in the end, I could see them coming together in the seven steps. You know, people in hard relationships, they can be silent in that. They can have hope that they're going to get out of it, and then they can go through suffering times, and then they either leave or stay in it. But there's a certain amount of loss there in a relationship when it breaks, or in death when, for my situation.
My guest is Alma, the author of the book Becoming Soul and the Seven Steps to Heaven. This number seven is a very interesting number, Alma, because I say this because I've had other conversation. Some people have spoken about the chakras, and they speak about the seven chakras, for example. And some people will speak about the seven virtues, again, referring to the Bible. Some people will speak about so many issues that seem to suggest that the number seven is connected to the completion of a particular spiritual journey. You speak about the seven steps to becoming soul, and you speak about, you know, those interchangeable experiences that you've just spoken about, loss, suffering, and you're not saying that they follow a specific sequence, but you are saying that loss for you, for example, was the way by which the gate or the portal was opened to becoming soul. Why do we have to go through this journey of the discovery of soul? Why are we not born with the knowledge of soul? Why are we not born with the awareness, the revelation, the understanding that you seem to be suggesting can only come after we've gone through these seven steps? Why are we not born with an understanding of these things from word go?
I think we are. I think we are born with that understanding. I think we, as a child, if you look at a child, they're very innocent. They don't know what hatred is. They don't know all of these things that we learn throughout life, that they come very innocent and they come connected. And I'll often describe a child going to sleep. either in the mother's arms or in a cot or what, it will lay there for a while and worm and squirm, if you like, and then all of a sudden it goes into this little in-between state where it's just about asleep but not asleep, and it's just lying there. And it, you know, as a parent, you just pull back at that stage and leave the child. But that child is in that state of between here and there. That's between the realms. And so they're connected to the divine. But as they grow, as we all know, things happen and life happens, and we learn from the external environment. And if it's not, you know, nurtured in that child to understand as that child grows that they have a connection to the divine. But you see, as parents, we need to know that first so we can tell the child that. But if we learn from our children that they have this connection when they're born.
But are the children conscious of it? I'm willing to accept that the children are in that state. You know, their mm-hmm. Their luminosity, their innocence, their ability to be so deeply present is yep. for me very, very much evidence of what you're talking about. My question is the consciousness of the state. Are they, the children, conscious of it in the way that you seem to be suggesting that we can become? And if not, is there a yes. way of being conscious of the state without being childlike?
I believe the child is conscious. I'll just, a little example was when my daughter was about 18 months too. We were just getting in the car, leaving the grandmother and going home. And all of a sudden I see her waiting. I said, "What are you doing?" "I'm just waiting to Jesus." And I went, "Right." So, yes, I believe they're connected. They're connected to the other side in just little things that they say and they do. Yeah. They're connected.
They just don't make a bigger deal about it as we do, perhaps.
No, it's just natural. It's just natural.
Yeah.
And we just build on top of, you know, experience upon experience, and you've had a hard experience and you want to shut off. I think I explained this in the book. You just shut off for so many years that part of you, and you don't want to connect, and it hurts too much, or I'm never doing that again. And they're all choices we make. And then we get to a certain part in our life where it's just not working for us. And inevitably, and I think this is what my belief is, I come back to the Jesus story, and that's where he walks you through. This is why we suffer. It's a choice for us to suffer, if you like, because we've shut ourselves off from other things, the simplicities of life.
It's a choice to suffer?
It's not so much childlike. It's a simplicity. It's a choice not to see that we can – I think it's because we haven't learnt. And this is what a lot of counselling and all the different healing modalities teach us, is how to come through that those stages. And then you come to, why do we have to suffer? You change your thoughts when you get to a point where you're so broken that you can't do it anymore this way. It's not working. And eventually it clicks in you that you can change your thought that you could do it another way, and then you look for other ways of actually doing this. And the book describes me walking through with my daughter, and I mean there were really hard times. And the question was: is how am I going to get through this? How am I going to do this? And why do I have to do it? I mean, all the questions were there. And I don't want to have to do this. So they are the choices.
How then,
Al,
you know? How then is that a choice? I hear you, if I'm understanding you correctly. I'm understanding you to be saying that, you know, there are certain ways by which we come to this awakening of soul. And one of those ways, as you seem to be suggesting, mm-hmm. is suffering. But it can come in many other ways. Loss, it can be hope, it can be silence. And maybe we'll go into that. Mm-hmm. But the pain that you went through at the loss of your daughter, not only at the loss, but during the journey of the pain that you both felt, your helplessness, your inability to remove the pain from your child, as most parents would at a drop of a hat, yeah. say, I will take that pain for my child, so that my child. How can that ordeal be a choice?
It's the choice of how you're going to handle it. It's the choice of, okay, I'm going to go down a really deep hole here and I'm not going to survive this. And I could have gone out many times. There was a choice there whether I wanted to live or I wanted to die because I couldn't cope with it. That's the choice. You can think, well, okay, do I want to live? Do I want to let this take me out? Will it affect my body? Will it affect, will I end up with a heart attack or something? What will happen? And they are the little choices you make daily. Well, I don't want to go there. I've got to be here for her. And then you go along, and this is the survival part. You might be suffering, but it is the survival that most of where the choices are is trying to survive that whole thing. And this is where the divine presents itself, because you walk through things you don't think you could ever walk through.
I'm going to ask you.
It's all of a sudden.
Sorry, Al, you go ahead.
Yes.
You said this is the choice?
No, I was waiting for you.
All right. I'm going to ask you the question, what is the divine? Because you seem to be talking about a relationship between the soul, yourself, the awakened you, and then you speak about mm-hmm. something that seems to be separate from the awakened you, the divine. Is that the way to understand it, that it is something separate from you? But I've got a few calls that perhaps might want to contribute and add some clarity to some of the things we're talking about on 011-883-0702. We're talking mm-hmm. about the soul, and my guest is Al Elma. She's the author of the book Becoming Soul, and the seven steps to the becoming, to heaven, as she says it in her book. It's a parable of the process of awakening to you, to your higher self, your soul, through a number of steps that she describes, through a process that she went through with the passing of her daughter. Theo is in Kempton Park. Hi, Theo.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Very good, thank you, Theo. What's on your mind, sir?
I would like to absolutely agree and accommodate. I would just like to say that I think it's a fantastic emotional process that one has to go through. But I'd also like to say that we do feel that the safety zone of pain sometimes reflects on the loss. And I think that if we diagnose ourselves as individuals emotionally sometimes and not focus on the pain and the loss, that we do have an opportunity to move forward emotionally. As Christians, it's quite important to understand that factor.
Yeah. What happens if we're not Christians?
If you're not close or whatever the case may be, at the end of the day, you know, it's electrical wiring. So we look for a safe place. And pain, unfortunately, is our safety net and our safety zone. So we kind of turn to that. But there is a possibility of rewiring that. And that's what's really important for soul and Christianity to progress forward, you know.
Theo in Kempton Park, thanks very much for your call. Elmer, you spoke of the example of Jesus in the way that you have been able to understand this process that you've gone through. And very often, it becomes a religious conversation whenever we speak of these matters. Is this the sole preserve of Christians, of people who believe in Jesus? Or is this an experience, the awakening, is this an experience that can be experienced by people who have never heard of Jesus, for example?
Well, that is why I refer to it as the divine source. We are all connected to the divine source. And the divine source is within us. It's not a separate entity. It's just the part of you that is connected to the divine. And why I call it the divine is because it's universal. It doesn't matter whether it's Jesus. It doesn't matter what religion that you put it under. This is humanity's way, if you like, of reaching their inner souls, which is their soul, which is love, which the divine is love. So we embody all of that. And it doesn't matter what religion we are. I talk about it because I grew up a Christian. And I connect with Jesus because I connected there as a child. But I can extend my mind and my heart and my soul to encompass whatever connection that you have.
Yeah.
You know, it's universal. It's just not Christian.
Yeah. So and that is usually the issue that I tend to spot whenever we speak of spiritual things, that we can go down a religious path. And you're saying that this is not a religious path. This is, in fact, a very spiritually practical issue that we just need to come to understand. Just again, I asked the question about this divine, this source that you speak of. Is that what people refer to as God?
Yeah, they do. Yes.
And what is it?
Anything else?
What is its purpose? What is the purpose of the divine source? Why is it that the divine source requires a separation of the souls that make you and I from itself, only for them to return to it? Why this great effort? Why this big story? Why must there be this separation of itself and then create little souls who then, through suffering, loss, return to it? Why? What's the purpose of it all?
It's the gift of choice. We were given choice, and these decisions aren't made for us. We've been given the choice to return or not return, to find our soul or not to find our soul. We have a choice, and I think that was the greatest gift bestowed upon us as we arrive into the world. We have the gift of choice. And you can see that throughout all the nations. We live differently. We have choices, and this is why it wasn't taken from us, that, you know, the law of nature has us so tight that we have to do this. But it's a seeking that we all come with, and then we make the choice. And I believe we make the choice to even come.
Somebody asked, where was Jesus when your daughter was dying?
Oh, right inside us. Every inch of the way. Every door that opened, I couldn't see before I got to it. It was like someone, you know, you come up to sliding doors and then all of a sudden it opened and then you could see what you had to do next. And it was just following his way.
So I remember reading an extract from I think it's Neil Donald Walsh's Conversations with God. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to read some of his work.
That.
And I remember being intrigued by the idea when I asked myself and perhaps him in that conversation of reading, what is the purpose then of the divine? What is the purpose of this God, of whatever it is that we understand to be a God? And the most intriguing answer came, and he said something like, because God is trying to get to know him or herself through our experiences. And at that time, I got to understand the relationship that we, as these smaller sort of manifestations of soul versus the greater divine source, as you explain it, is that its purpose is to get to know itself.
Yes.
And that's why it moves from this singularity to this duality that goes back to singularity. But it's almost like a move from innocence to perfection rather than just a matter of just knowing things. It is a matter of God knowing him or herself through our consciousness.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and that may sound complex, but that's very simple. It is a simple answer.
You think God, the divine,
we are one.
Yeah, the divine purpose, the divine source, needed to know pain, needed to know grief, needed to know the hollowness of not having answers. The question then becomes, what of his or her omniscience in that moment? And maybe that comes from a very superficial and selfish place of wanting to understand purpose. But if God needs to know him or herself in the way that you and I have just discussed, what then of the idea that God is omniscient?
Well, it's like not knowing if there's all darkness or if there's all light. You don't know the difference. So when you know the darkness, you know the light.
Mm.
When you're in the darkness and you see something glimmering at the end of it, there's something else. There's the light. And if you're in the light, you will see a glimmer of darkness and there's something else. So it's for one to know the other.
Yeah, so in order for you to understand the concept of height, you would need to have appreciated the concept of low, is what you're saying.
Right.
So it's that whole dual relationship.
Yes,
What did you discover at the end of the journey of your daughter's suffering, and by implication, your suffering?
Yeah, when she had finally left, and I sat in the hospital, and I couldn't process that I had to leave without her, because I'd never left my child anywhere. And there was this tug in me that I didn't know what to do. And this is what I was saying, I didn't know what to do because I'd never done it before. And so doors were opening as I got to each thing I had to do. And all I could hear in my head was, you brought me in here, Mum. Now take me out with you. I'll be with you all the time. And it was an awakening that I realized that okay, she's in the spiritual realm and there's no disconnect. That's what I learned. And I could walk out that door. And I walked out with her in my mind. I'd heard her voice so many times. I felt her body. I knew what she felt like. I knew what she looked like. I knew. And I walked out with that. But learning to accept that she was not in the body, but she was there. And she's been there ever since. And 7 years now, and it's just as vivid in me, and her communication with me is just as vivid. It connected.
Yeah. Is that part of the journey of becoming soul, the arrival at the comfort of being in relationship with people that are disembodied? In other words, because of our very temporal way of understanding and thinking and feeling, and our being locked in our five senses very often, we sometimes have a very ambiguous relationship with disembodied beings. Is that part of the process when we become soul? Is it the ability to be comfortable with the disembodied others that are amongst us?
Well, I believe both our souls, my daughter and I believe both our souls became soul. She became soul and left. I became my soul because I had chose to open up fully and listen fully to directions that were given me through the spirit, I would say. And I believe I became my soul and I decided to stay on earth. She decided to leave, but we both became our souls. So you can become your soul while you're here. And my experience in the last 7 years is that I have become my soul, and it's just that I'm not over there, I'm here. And that's why I wrote the book, and that's why my middle name is Elma, and it means the soul. And that's how I see myself now. I believe that that's what happened to me walking through that, as much as she became her soul and left.
What was the purpose?
I became my soul and stayed.
What was the purpose of your staying and not going there? And where is there?
There is back to your consciousness, just without the body. And why I stayed was because she had children and I'm raising them.
The responsibilities of here, like children, and the fact that they must be raised, to what extent are they a factor in the choice as to whether you go there or here? And these were her children. Why didn't she choose to stay here to look after her children so that you could go there?
I did ask her that. before she left, I did ask her that. Was her time. It was, she had lived a very full life, and she had, we can see now after the 7 years, we can see that it was her time to go. And it was, the children, it's been difficult, but we've day by day make another decision. How do we do this? How do we get past this? So it continued here, and her life continued where ever the consciousness is. We call it heaven, and that's why the heaven is the last step. And it was her birthday the other day, and we just have a little shared family messaging, texting, and we all just came together, and because we're all different areas, and we just put a picture of her up and we just connect to her. And as I said to her, she, you know, just remember us and have fun learning all the great things that you're learning now, you know, in her consciousness. It didn't stop existing.
You know, I read a book by a gentleman by the name of Gary Zukav called The Seat of the Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of that book, Maya Angelou gives her thoughts of the book as a preface.
Yep.
And she speaks about the fact that we have this idea that it's either heaven or hell. And in a particular play that she quotes in her introduction, she says that archetypal sort of creature, the Grim Reaper, comes to visit a particular individual to take them to wherever. And in a moment of rare cordiality between the person who is about to die and the Grim Reaper, the person who's about to die says, "So am I going to go to heaven or hell?" And the Grim Reaper laughs and says, "That's the problem with you all. You all think that there's only heaven or hell. There are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of destinations in between." And goes on to say that you are actually just in your 974th manifestation. What are your thoughts about that?
I agree. I agree. I mean, and that's why the last step is heaven. There's no hell. We can create our own hell. We don't need to go to hell. I mean, you're released when you, whatever it's called. You know, I've grown up knowing it as heaven, but what is heaven? I mean, it can, we'll know when we get there, and that's what I said to her.
Are you in connection?
You know.
Are you in constant connection with your daughter in her disembodied state?
Definitely.
Do you have conversations?
Definitely. Yep.
Like you and I are having now?
Yep, definitely.
Does she have political views?
No. She has humanity views.
I'm fascinated by this, by the way, Elma, because I let me speak to Wesley in Benoni. Hi, Wesley.
Hi, man. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Wesley. What's on your mind?
I'm good, man. You know, I've been doing some research in the Bible for a while, for more than 10 years. Especially in the book of Genesis, where you find when God created a man out of the dust and breathed in the spirit of living, which is the soul. He became a living being, a person. And then in summary, when you read the Bible, especially in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, I think it's verse 7, it says that when a person dies, his souls go back to God. Mm-hmm. And then the flesh, according to the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, it says the flesh will never enter the kingdom of God. That's why a person is buried. And then, which is flesh and blood, shall never inherit the kingdom of God. When you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 1, it says that we've got the heavenly bodies and the earthly bodies. So our bodies, which one, where we are at this moment, we groan for that spiritual body, which is in heaven. So we are connected with God spiritually, not by physically, because of it goes beyond. Because of the Bible in the book of Colossians, it says that chapter 3, we must set those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, not the earthly things. So when it comes to spirituality and the soul and everything has to do with God. While we are on the earth, spiritually we are living with God. Because each and every belief, when you believe on something, you live according to what you believe in.
Sure. All right. Wesley, thanks very much. Yeah.
Yeah, that is what is my understanding when it comes to the Bible. And
sure. Wesley in Benoni, thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated. Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of beliefs out there. Here's the question to you, Alma. So what?
So what?
Yeah, so what? So, you know, you've written the book, Becoming Soul. There are lots of books that have been written about these subjects, even as Wesley has just demonstrated.
Yep.
From various traditions throughout the world, from the Christian, from the Muslim, from the you know, Baha'i. There's so many different traditions that seem to be speaking of similar issues. So that what may happen? So what?
So we don't know. We don't know. We're still here. And it's for us now to experience that. And that's, I could not experience what my daughter experienced at that time. But one day I will, and I'll be able to answer that for you. But it's the finding the peace, finding the love, finding the connection and surviving, and then you get to believing that this is working for you, and you start believing in your soul that you are connected, and you believe, and it's your belief then in your soul, and you go to a place we call heaven, and you can be there on earth, and you can be there when you leave your body. And it's finding the constant connection with yourself that you express then, that you're living from your soul, and every decision you have to go back, you take your ego out of the way and say, well, what would my soul say today? And the understanding that you are connected to there.
Elma?
And it's not that you don't...
I've got to let you go, but I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us. Your book, Becoming Soul, and the 7 Steps to Heaven. I really, really have enjoyed talking to you, and I hope to cross paths with you again sometime soon.
Thank you very much.
How do
Thank
people you. Get a hold of your book?
They can get it through Amazon. They can get it through. My website, which is becomingsoulalelma.com, they can get it any good bookstore there. Yep.
Much appreciated. Hope to meet you sometime soon, and it's been a fascinating conversation.